sense that you were charged. Gave me the very wonderful leeway of speaking about whatever I wanted to speak about in Yoni Tzila. And I was torn myself whether I should speak about Tzila Bechlal or maybe a certain prat of Tzila. So I was first thing I was going to speak about the Inyan of Somet Gula L'Tfila. And, you know, we all know the famous Gemara Brachas. Gemara Brachas says, Ezu ben olam haba, ze ha-somech gula shal arvis, l'tfila shal arvis. Ash says, the kol shekein shal shachris. Some extraordinary union of being somech gula l'tfila. That's what I thought I was going to speak about. Or I was going to speak about tfila in general. And I think we'll do a little bit of both. I'm going to start with tefillah in general. And I think there's a nekuda that I came across while preparing this. I think it's worth sharing. You know, a tefillah club is really a beautiful idea. And, but there's probably something that happens in the tefillah club. You know, when we learn in the Beis Medrash, you know, when we're learning Gemaras and we're learning going through Shas, so there's so much to learn about. And we all know we follow, you know, most of the yeshiva world now follows what's called the Brisker Derech. You know, everything has two dinim, everything splits in half. And as you learn Torah, you find more and more things that are different. You can find lots and lots of things that are different. Tefillah works differently. You'll agree with me or disagree with me, but my sense is that by tefillah, the opposite is true. As we learn more about tefillah, and as we come week after week to this club, you probably come to notice that really the opposite happens. In tefillah, it all sort of comes back into being one thing. Instead of splitting into multiple things, it goes the opposite direction, and all of tefillah sort of becomes one. I was thinking we could perhaps explain this with a short piece from Maral. The Maral in the Siva Avoda in Perek Beis quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, "Meisir ozno mishmoa Torah gam tfiloso to'eva." If one turns away his ears from listening to Torah, also his tefillah will be a to'eva. Also his tefillah will, to'eva is a very strong language, will not be accepted. It's not going to work. At first glance, that's a little surprising. After all, Torah, Avodah, Gmilas Chasadim, there are three different parts. There are many different parts of Avodah Hashem. Why is it that if I don't want to listen to Torah, why Meisir Ozno Mishmoa Torah, why does that impact Gam Tfiloso To'eva? Why do the two things work together? So the Maral explains, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two things. He says he gave us the Torah and he gave us our nefesh. And he explains that Torah is when, you've all heard this idea before, Torah is when Hashem speaks to us. We are learning the Torah as Hashem. We are learning all the wisdom that there is in the world. Tefillah is when we speak to Hashem. I think if you'll just stop there for a second, you'll understand why it happens like that. Because how does he describe tefillah? He doesn't say Hashem gave us Torah and tefillah. He says Hashem gave us Torah and nefesh. Right? And nefesh is the thing that's mispalel. And we only have one nefesh. So whereas Torah is coming from the outside, it's coming from Hashem, so we shouldn't be surprised when we learn that there's more and more things that we don't know about. Because they're all the things that are coming from the outside that Hashem is showing to us through the words of Torah Shebuch Sav and Torah Shebuch Peh. Hashem is showing that to us. So Mela, it makes sense that there's lots and lots of different aspects to it. But tefillah is really an expression of the nefesh. And the nefesh, a person only has one nefesh. So it makes sense that as we study, as we learn more about tefillah, even though it blends together, right? That's what the analysis does. It tends to bring it together, and it brings the nefesh all together. what is this connection between Torah and Tefillah? So the Maharal explains based on a Medrash. Medrash says that David HaMelech comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Shmorani, Ishon Bas Eino, you should protect me. David HaMelech was worried. Sounds like he's worried about dying. There's certainly occasions in his life to worry about that. And he comes to Hashem, he says, you know, I'm worried. So Hashem says, you know, keep the Torah. Follow the Torah mitzvahs and you'll be fine. And the Medrash says it's like two people, one who lived in Yehuda and one who lived in the Galil. And each one had a field in the opposite place. So I lived in Yehuda and you lived in the Galil. So I said, of course, made a deal. The deal is that I live in Yehuda. You have a field here by me in Yehuda. I'll watch your field and you watch my field. That's the deal that any two reasonable partners or two people who are even acquaintances would make with each other. We'll each look out for each other. It says, that's what's going on with Torah and with Tefillah. That's what's going on with Torah and Tefillah. That what's going on is the Torah is what Hashem gave to this world. So we have to involve ourselves in Torah as much as possible and learn the Torah as much as possible. Our nefesh, doesn't quite say this, but I think the explanation is, our nefesh is the etzem up in Shemayim. Our nefesh is really by the Ribono Shel Olam. Our nefesh is not for this world. Our nefesh is in a higher place. And Hashem watches our nefesh. The means that we do that through is through tefillah. Right? Maybe just as a little, you know, we always try to envision these things, but when we're starting to daven Shmon Esrei, instead of like envisioning that we are going up to Shemayim, you know, which is what some Sfarim will advise, if instead we would just realize that we're accessing our nefesh, which is already up in Shemayim. Our nefesh is in a very high place, which has access to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that's how we can daven. And so he says that's the explanation of how these two things work together. You know, in light of this, I'll tell you the truth. I had a cousin, first cousin of mine, who was nifted very young. He was an extraordinary person. His name was Rav Kalman Shammai Sperka, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And it's my first cousin who, a few years older than I was. I still remember when I was a fairly young boy, maybe 14 or 15, he was 21 at the time, and he was making a Siyum HaShas. Yeah, not a Siyum HaShas, you know, before the days of Art Scroll, you know, no Daf Yomis, just Daf after Daf after Daf after Daf. He made a Siyum HaShas, and he grew to become Mamish and Odom Godol Vatayra. He wrote a number of Sfarim we have here in the Beis Medrash now. One of them is on Shabbos. Maybe next year we'll have a chance to learn it a little bit. It's called Evan HaSapir. And I once had the schus for one short time when I was in the Mir. He was in the Mir for 20 years. He was there for basically, you know, I don't know, maybe 22 until he was nifter in his early 40s. And I had the schus to learn with him. And I remember when I was learning with him, one time, we were talking, which very rarely happened. He was an extraordinary master. And he says, something came up about working. And he says to me, I don't understand how anybody can work. You know, we have here, we always talk about our dual curriculum. And I says, I don't understand how anybody can work. He says, I have a hard enough time switching from davening to learning. Like, yeah, he also had, diversity in his life. The diversity was davening and learning. He says it's so difficult to switch from davening to learning. And he says I couldn't even imagine if I had to do a third thing, if I had to, like, switch to work mode. I remember at the time I listened to his words and I was like, I don't really know what you're talking about. You know, putting on a hat and jacket is not that difficult. I don't really, you know, I couldn't even fathom what he meant. But maybe in light of what we're saying over here, it's understandable. There's such different aspects to the one relationship we have with Hashem. we require both. You have to have both things, but they're really so different. Torah is Hashem giving to us, and Torah and tefillah is us asking of Hashem. It'll be like a mashal, like for maybe something we can understand a little better. Like if you had a guy who's a master's, you know, he's in a master's program for something. And so he's in high school, whatever, he's in a master's program for computers. So he teaches high school, he teaches computers in a high school. And then he has to like switch gears and he has to go teach, he has to go back to school and he's all of a sudden a student again. You know, it's not so easy to make such a switch. Not everybody is receptive, able to receive and to give over. It's complicated. It's a complication that is not really so simple. And it's something that we see over here is really required of us. Required of us to be able to fulfill both of these things. Now, that's the klal. In the prat, I was looking into the sugya over here of Somet Pu'ula L'Tfila. It's a lot of very interesting things over here. But there's one thing that says as follows. It's in Rav Dessler, but it's really based on the Alter from Kelm. That the Alter from Kelm says, he has a question on this whole thing. It says, why are we so many Gula Tila? So we all know the Rashi says, because through, you know, we come and it's like we knock on the door and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to answer, and if we don't daven, so then it's like we left, and it's obviously not gonna come across well. Come across like, I don't know, it's going to cross as a prank or something. It's not going to come across well if we were there, we had the opportunity, and now Hashem comes to greet us and we're not there. So when we do geula, when we say the geula parts of the tefillah, we're getting right next to the door, knocking on the door, and then it's like we get turned away. So we have to be so much geula tefillah. So Rashi says, really, we like the words of Rashi. It says, what you should do is, as you're miratzehim b'tishbachos, you praise Hashem, you talk about, you know, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then u'ba'odo korav elav yeshlo litvo atzrachos. While he is still close to him, that's when you should ask your needs. And the Alter from Kelm asks a fascinating question. He says, why is this so necessary? He says, would it not be sufficient if somebody just came to Hashem and poured out his soul? Would it not be sufficient if somebody came with a heartfelt request to have whatever wish that he was looking for fulfilled? And he explains further in the question, this is really the way that Rabbeinu Yonah explains this whole Gemara. He says that really, what's the pshat? Worthwhile for Pesach to hear this. That's why I started with Gula Tefillah, because Pesach is coming. Yeah, that the Rabbeinu Yonah over here explains what's the pshat of being so much Gula Tefillah. The second pshat is that he says, when we read about the Gula, when we read about Gula Mitzrayim, we enhance our level of Bitachon. Right, that's what gives us Bitachon. We have Bitachon in Hashem, and while we have that Bitachon, then we go to Davin, because davening is one of the highest levels of bitachon that we have. You may not realize it. Maybe you do it just because, you know, you've been trained to daven. But really, davening is an extraordinary thing. We come and we talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we know that he's listening. We know that he can fulfill our requests. We might take it for granted, but you shouldn't. It's such a high level of bitachon. So he says, so what we need to do is we need to start off with the Geulas Mitzrayim. Geulas Mitzrayim brings us up in the levels of bitachon. And then we're able to daven, because then our davening will be with that level of bitachon. And so that's why it has to be Somech Geulah Tefillah. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. But Rav Dessler quotes the Alter from Kelm is saying, one step further than that, is that he says, we see over here a critical thing, which is that smichus geula l'tfila the inyan is that there are different aspects of Dveikus in Hashem. And it's really part of a larger piece over here, but he says the real lesson that it's teaching us is that we can't be Mesiyach Das. We have to go, we talk about this a lot here in Yeshiva, you know, Kodesh and Chol, but just like Kodesh and Chol, we say, you know, you have to go in, Chol Derech HaKodeyu, it has to be with the purpose of Avodas Hashem. So of course, davening we take for granted is Avodas Hashem. But I think the inyan is that there should be there can't be a Hesech Hadats. There can't be an interruption between one Dveikus and the other Dveikus. And so that's why they have to go together. I think Torah is the same way. You know, I was looking, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Kufnun Hey, he brings down an inyan. You've probably heard of it before. You've probably seen it before. It says that after davening, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Achar sheyatzu mibeis haknesses yelech lebeis hamedrash." So it's not stam. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, where does it come from? It comes from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Daled. It says, "Yelchu Michael el Choyel." You know, that's a famous expression, Michael el Choyel. You know, you hear it every single graduation. You know, okay, you finish this, and now you should go on to the next thing. The Gemara actually says it about somebody who goes from the Beis Knesses to the Beis Medrash. Right? You go from davening into learning. It's Ke'ein. It's Ke'ein Somech Gula Tzila. You have to be Somech, just like we're Somech Gula Tzila, we have to be Somech our Tzila to our Torah. Because the ultimate way that we can grow in the highest levels possible, as anybody will tell you in just about any endeavor you do, if you do it for longer periods of time, if you have retzifus, in whatever it's going to be, right? The more retzifus you have in something, the greater it will be. So that's how it can make that if we take after our Torah, we go into tefillah. And after our tefillah, we go into Torah, right? And as my cousin, Olav HaShalom, used to say, that by itself is creating this continuous connection of Dveikus between us and Hashem, and Hashem back to us. Right? It's going back both ways, but there shouldn't be any interruption between that. He actually answers with this, if I have 2 more minutes, a fascinating question that he asks. It's a little bit of an aside, but it's a fascinating question. The Alter from Kelm asks this. He says, why was it necessary for the Torah to tell us the story of Adam HaRishon? What's his kasha? He explains, he says, chatoim of other people, I understand. Because you could say the Torah teaches it to us so that we should learn a lesson what not to do. But the chait of Adam HaRishon, we surely have no shaykhis to. We're not going to be put in any situation that's going to include Gan Eden or a Nachash or any of these things. So what's the necessity for teaching us the whole parsha? And the Alter says that there really is a lot to learn. And he explains that really the chait was that he paid attention to the Nachash. He was Mesiyach Das. That was the chait of Adam HaRishon that we're supposed to learn about. In other words, forgetting about all the, it's not about not eating from the tree. You know what I mean? The lesson is that Adam HaRishon, he describes, had, you know, was Roem, Sofa Olamat Sofa, he was able to see everything in the world, he had everything. He brings down a very interesting Zohar that says that the, I don't know what it means, I'm not going to say it. Okay, it's page 91 if you want to look. Chelek Aleph. Brings down a Zohar, but besides for that, but he says that the lesson is, with a small conversation with the Nachash, all of a sudden there was a chait. So he says, that's what we have to attempt to do, and utilize the constant dveikus opportunities that we have. And so it's sort of a combination of combining the Torah with the tefillah and keeping the dveikus going is something that obviously will produce extraordinary results. Okay? Wow.